We're continuing our sermon series on the seven deadly sins, and this week we're looking at sloth, and sloth isn't the first sin that comes to my mind when I think of the Village Church. We're a group of willing workers, and we have these t-shirts in the Village, and they say, "Here to Serve," Yeah, it's what we're covering today. And so what we need to talk just very briefly, like, what is sloth? Many of us, you kind of think a definition is laziness, right? Someone's slothful, they're lazy, right? But I don't think we should confuse it with laziness. I think about the person who is doing this line, right? There's like, they may not be lazy. They may be very, very busy just doing something else. Right? Just kind of letting things run their course. That's what this person's doing. And so my prayer is that this sermon, if you're kind of just letting things run their course, they would kind of jolt you a little bit, so you can't just let things run their course. You gotta shift a little bit. And so let's pray. God, pray that you'd open your word to us. I don't know anyone in this church who's slothful as a pattern of their whole life, but I pray that you would convict each one of us. Maybe there's an area in our lives where we have been slothful, and so we pray that you would speak, encourage us, challenge us with just the word that we need to hear on this this deadly sin of sloth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our text this morning is Proverbs 24, a man who's just kind of letting life run its course. So this is our text. This is God's word. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief and scarcity like an armed man. When I have friends who come to the Niagara region, which happens every once in a while from Hamilton or whatever, one thing that I love to do with them is I love to take them on a drive kind of through vineyard country, like Niagara-on-the-Lake, and just kind of see the beauty of what we have here. And that's one of my joys. And our writer here, though, in this text, he says, you know what? I was going past a vineyard the other day, and it was a mess. There were thorns coming up. There were weeds everywhere. The walls had fallen down. Like, this thing had not been taken care of. And he's frustrated. And to understand kind of the height of his frustration, we have to understand what a vineyard meant in the ancient Middle East. So a vineyard was a piece of land where you could grow crops. And to be able to do that in the Middle East, even today, you think about the land that's mostly dry and parched, and you think about the idea of a vineyard there. I mean, so when this vineyard is neglected, for this writer, it was unheard of, because to own a vineyard was to have the opportunity of a lifetime. Right? Just like today. I mean, who here owns a vineyard? Right? Right? Those things are expensive. We can't afford one, right? So more so in that day. So how does this relate to you and me? What does this relate today to you and me? I love what John Ortberg said. He said, everybody. So each one of us here in this room, Nico, each one of us, a joy, we each get a vineyard. When you were born, you got a vineyard. You got a body, your mind, your relationships, You got some financial resources. You got a soul. Everybody gets a vineyard, and it's your one and only shot on this planet. That's your vineyard. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. Your life is a vineyard. So you get to choose what you're going to do with the vineyard that God's given you. You get to choose. So in this sermon, the goal is I want you to do a checkup on how things are going in the management of the vineyard that God has given you. Your relationships, your finances, your opportunities that are right at your fingertips. Not how the vineyard's going of the person next to you, your own vineyard, right? And so we're going to look at your vineyard, and you get to choose how you're going to manage it, just like this person in this proverb. And so we're going to look at three principles, so you can pull them up. Entropy, so are you evaluating how you're doing your taking care of your vineyard through the law of entropy? Marginal cost and metrics. So those are kind of businessy terms, but it's a vineyard. You own a vineyard, so you're going to get those terms. Okay, so entropy, the definition is everything left to itself has a tendency to deteriorate. So entropy is a great enemy. So if you leave your lawn to itself, what happens? Weeds come up, right? If you leave your marriage to itself, what happens? Weeds. You wake up one morning and you don't know the person next to you, right? So if you leave your personal hygiene to itself, what happens? People do weeds. People don't want to spend time with you, right? So that's entropy. Everything that's left to itself has a tendency to just deteriorate. So this proverb, he says, you know, I was just walking past a vineyard. I was just walking by, and this is what I saw. And was it a catastrophe? Was it drought? Was it maybe a flood? Was it some kind of fire? Some other natural disaster? No, it was just negligence. And so you have this sheet in front of you, and it says, you know, these areas of your vineyard. And I want to give you just 2 minutes to kind of, you might have a pen, you might not, you don't need to, but just give yourself kind of a number on each area of your vineyard. There might be one area of your vineyard, it's kind of like the back 40, right? Like, you know, that area of the property maybe that you never go. Give yourself a number. You got just a minute. I want to just give yourself a chance to kind of do this self-checkup. How's the vineyard going? How's your management of the vineyard going? Is that clear? Okay, just 1 minute. There's a proverb that says that each one of us is to know the condition of our herds, so to speak. So picture again, you own this property like a farmer. Each one of us is to know the condition of our herds, to know the condition of what you have that's been entrusted to you. And so if you can't do that, something like this, and just kind of see where you stand right now, then you're not going to get anywhere new, right? Like, you have to be able to see where you stand right now. And so that's what the purpose of this exercise was. And if you don't do that, you won't get anywhere new. So pay careful attention to what you have. God cares about your vineyard. It's a gift from Him. Each one of those aspects is a gift from Him. So there's certain. So when you think about the relationships section, I've said this before. There's certain hands that only John can hold, right? There's certain hearts that only Jeff can touch with his unique background and experiences, right? There's certain people that Ian can reach in his work in construction that Mark can't reach with the love of God as a pastor. They look at me and they're like, you whatever, right? Just all the history of the church gets lumped on me. I try to not tell people I'm a pastor in the opening parts of a conversation. It shuts the conversation right down. But there's people who you can reach, Bill, at print three that I can't, right? Or that Nick can't. Nick, Lynn, there's people in the building you can reach that many of us don't live in the building, right? We can't reach them. God has put them in your life for a purpose. And so for you, when you think about that wheel, think about the relationships, the people who are already in your life who don't know the love that you've seen. So that's entropy, things naturally fall apart. Pay attention to what you have. Next point, marginal costs. So this phrase needs to be defined. I really like Heinz ketchup. Okay? So when I compare this with the no name, it's like 60 cents difference. That's a marginal cost, the extra 60 cents for the Heinz ketchup, right? Who's with me? Okay, Heinz ketchup, okay? So marginal cost, 60 cents, I don't care about. I don't care, right? Our text, though, says you need to pay attention to the marginal cost. You need to pay attention to the 60 cents. So let's read our passage. If you can go back, I don't know if you can read it on the screen. This wasn't in my notes, but so the text says a little sleep. We can see that. Oh, it's so tiny. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. A little bit can have a big impact. So that person doesn't see himself as a sloth, right? That person doesn't see themselves as lazy. And so do you see the marginal costs? So just, you can think of, you know, your whole life, like just a little bit of cheese, right? Just this once. I've been on this diet from cheese, but just a little bit. Or just one more episode. Or, you know, just this once, I'm going to pull out my cell phone on the Sabbath. Just this once. And these little decisions make a big impact. I have a friend who goes to this church who has this thing that he does to keep count of these marginal costs. So on this sheet, he has things that are really, really important. So like things like Bible reading. And he actually evaluates them, like when he's doing them and when he's not, right? Because we tend to just, oh, it's just this once, right? So like at the beginning of the year, I said, I'm going to write a thank you note every morning. The beginning of the year, right? New Year's resolution. And then one day I was just like, nah, whatever. And I didn't pay attention to that exception, right? And so what happens is that guy who's running the vineyard, just a little bit of sleep. I'm just going to sleep in this morning. And it had a huge impact where his whole vineyard is just, it's a travesty. It just was run down with weeds. It was a mess. And that's true of each one of our lives. So we need to think. So if there's a way you can just feel guilty. Oh yeah, there's things in that wheel that I haven't been paying attention to, and you can just kind of get bummed out by it. And that's not the purpose of this sermon. The purpose is self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. And God is living inside of you, working self-control in you. So whatever has happened in the past, today is a new day, right? And so the Holy Spirit is working these things in us. Lastly, metrics. So what are metrics? They're kind of just measurement indicators. So what you focus on at work, Scott, what you focus on is what you measure. So if you're measuring, you know, I placed 6 guys last month. Scott does placement services for businesses. I placed 6 guys last month. Then the next month, you can kind of look at it and you'd be like, okay, you know, 6, I'm going to shoot for 8. This I have no idea what your metrics are.
I take a month off, I close 6 months.
Oh, you get 6. Okay, you take a month off. So I'm going to take a month off, and then the next month I'm going to go for 8 because I did 6 the last month. And so when you drive, what are the metrics that are important? What are the metrics that are important when you're driving? Maybe your speed, if you don't want to get a speeding ticket, right? Or another metric might be the what's that? Gas, that's super important. Mine is like right on empty right now. So like, let's say of all the metrics, let's say your car is like properly maintained. Of all the metrics, the if your car is properly maintained, let's say gas is very important. You know, speed, you can kind of pay attention to the cars around you, right? So gas, super important metric. What is the one metric that is most important to Jesus? What is the one metric that's most important to Jesus? Love. Who said that? Love. What are the most important commandments, he was asked? Love God, love your neighbor. That was it. And so there's so many different, when you kind of look at that wheel, you can be like, I can't keep track of, I'm at a 2 here, I'm at a 3 here. Love. Love. Jesus is tracking love. The slothful person is not tracking love. In the book of Acts, Luke writes, "For David, after he had served the purposes of God in his own generation, fell asleep." Have you arrived like David? Raise your hand if you've arrived like David, serving the purposes of God. No, you're not dead yet. Like, you haven't. You and I haven't. And so there's a reason why you're on this planet yet. There's like, God has a purpose yet for you. And his metric that he's looking at is love. And so, there's a reason why you're at this church. There's a reason why you have the vineyard that you have. Press into that. What is that reason? What's the, like some of us, you know, we were here 12 years ago at the Village. Like, what's your next assignment? Like you've maybe been doing the same thing. What's your next assignment? You get to choose if you want it. You can say no. I've done my part. I'm done. Or you can say I'm here to bear fruit yet. One of the most encouraging conversations I've had in the past like year. And John, I didn't ask permission for this, but I'm still going to share it. I think you'll be okay with it. I was at John and Kay's, and John is a retired pastor and such a gift to our church, leading the prayer team. And I said to him, look, you could be at a church that has it all together. You could be at a church that, you know, they've figured out some of these systems that we're not, you know, that, you know, they have, they're kind of on a roll. And like, why are you here? And he said, you know, Kay and I, we could be spending our year in Florida, kind of just roasting on the beach, so to speak. We could spend our time doing that, but their heart is this metric, right? They said, our heart is to bear fruit. Our heart is to bear fruit. And I want to speak specifically to the seniors right now, the seniors in our church. Right? God has entrusted you to us. I'm going to speak specifically to you. You're a significant portion of the servants in our church. There's a reason why you're here. They say, you know, your 60s, for instance, are your most fruitful decade. You have experience, you have wisdom, you have experienced revelation from God. God's taught you certain things. And you've stayed connected for decades, connected to Jesus for decades, longer than I've been alive, many of you. And so For this, I'm thankful. I'm thankful of your example of still wanting God, of still keeping this metric of love God, love neighbor, not getting lazy with that. I look up to you. You have so much to teach us. Keep doing what you're doing. Press in. And God might be calling you to something new in your years. God might be. And you can't go forward by just looking back. And each day is a new day. And God is doing a new thing for each one of us. And so what is it? What's your assignment in the vineyard that God has given you? What's he building in you? What has he been building in you? Like, what's he been calling out in you? What is it? He's active in your life right now. He's present. He's doing stuff. What is it? What's he doing? Let's keep an eye on entropy, right? Things naturally fall apart, especially in the back 40 of the vineyard where you don't pay attention. Let's keep an eye on marginal costs, those little acts of love, those little lack of love things that we do, especially with people closest to us. Let's keep an eye on our metric in the kingdom of God, which is love. Our bottom line is love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, if the metric you used when you look at each person here is our devotion to you, not one of us would be saved. Not one of us would know you. If that was the metric that you used, we thank you that true love is this, not that we love you, but that you first loved us. Think of the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, in your final hours, Jesus. And you asked them if they would care enough, if they would be devoted enough to stay with you in that moment. Instead, they were slothful. They just fell asleep. And each one of us in our devotion to you, our love for our neighbor, we've fallen asleep. And we pray for your spirit to renew in each one of us a fresh care, that we wouldn't be like that guy with the vineyard who just fall into pieces. But that we would have this fresh care for what it is that you've entrusted to us. And we would have this discipline with it, this devotion to it, this attentiveness to every relationship, every responsibility, everything that's on our plate to do. God, we thank you that for the disciples and their example of not having it all together. But we want to be like Paul. We don't want to just dwell in the fact that we're a mess. But we want to be like Paul. This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, striving forward to what lies ahead, pressing on towards the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Christ, would you work in each person here more freedom, more joy, more love? Would each one of us be more present to you, more intimate with you this year than last year? God, may we be able to say, yes, I'm more devoted to Christ. I'm more all in than I ever have been. And may we attribute it not to our own willpower or devotion, but by your devotion and your dedication to each one of us right to the very last breath. May we be like David and serve your purposes in our generation. pray for new dreams, new visions, new ideas, new energy in this church. And may it be attributed all to you in the work you're doing. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.